Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now. Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. How are you today? You've returned back to your spot right there. You see that place right there? Where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we are going to the frigid cold of Canada. We are going to meet with the beautiful Isabella Gasparini. She is a very layered woman with a lot of insight. She is going to help us pick up what we have unfortunately put down ourselves, not being able to relax, not being able to adjust, not being able to focus. She teaches Reiki, and she has founded a very powerful women's group. It is called Meta Woman. And I just want to kind of get into her. I want to see what I haven't been able to see before. We might do a little exercise there to help all of us ground ourselves. But I want to find out right now, you know, how she shows up on the planet. How are you, Isabella?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Send me some heat, because it is frigid here right now. It's actually minus some parts of Canada right now. It's like minus 50, which is minus 50 Fahrenheit. And I'm not as cold as that, but close to it. So it's insane.
You were saying to me in the green room about, you know, they have emergency shelters where they have homeless. Do you have a large homeless population there in Vancouver?
You know, unfortunately we do, especially in milder weathers for obvious reasons. So I live in an area, I'm in Lake Country and Wine Country in British Columbia. So I'm about 400 kilometers from Vancouver. And because it's a bit milder here, so is Vancouver, we have a larger population of homeless. And, you know, it is multi-layered, because it's not only because of the high cost of living in this area. There are families that are living in, like, working families are living in motels because there's not affordable housing for them. That's one layer. But, you know, there's that deeper layer of mental health and substance abuse, where we find people living in parks, you know, tents. So it is, I think, you know, it's a worldwide issue, and certainly hits Canada. It absolutely hits Canada.
Global, you know, but yes. Canada, as I said, I've worked there for many years. It seems that they are just a little bit more, or they're different. You know, it depends on which politrician is in office.
For sure.
They're a little bit more sensitive. They're a little bit more culturally aware. It is expensive, though, in Vancouver. Your taxes are just, wow, it's crazy. But you have socialized medicine, but people say that's a double-edged sword, because sometimes, you know, you can get in to see a doctor, but it might be 6 months before you get in to see the specialist. So all of those things weigh heavily on people's hearts. And here in the United States, can you believe this, that the governors will give bus tickets to their unsheltered to go to warmer climates? So they'll just, you know, you'll be somewhere and I don't want to name a state, but you'll be somewhere that's very cold, and they'll say, hey, you want a bus ticket to California? If you're going to stay on the street, at least it'll be nice and warm. And then the economic impact where you live in wine country, you know, with that frigid cold, that is really deteriorating the crops.
Yes. And the timing of it, we've had actually an unusual warm winter so far, even though we're in just the beginning. So they have to wait and see, because freezing it like at this level is not necessarily a bad thing. The humidity will have to do more. If we have more snow, it has more of an impact. We need more snow. We've had just snow in the last few days, but we haven't had enough moisture. This is a semi-desert. You know, all those big fires in Canada, this is where the big fires are.
Oh,
like
wow.
Here, right? Like, the, you know, although it's mostly of the northern part here, we've suffered tremendously. Last year was really hard on the economy. Like, these multi-million dollar lake homes all burned to the ground. Not
the
all,
big
but
fire,
a lot of
you
them.
You know what the big fire is? It's right there in your heart. Tell us a little bit more about you and how you show up in the world.
Well, you know what? That what comes to mind, this has just came to mind. It's a bit of a funny story. I was
Hold on
in the
one
water.
second. Wait, before I'm going to bring you back in on that. I want you to move your camera up because I'm cutting off this part of your
Oh,
head.
got you. Is
Perfect.
this okay?
That's better. That's
All
better.
right.
So I'll count you back in on three. One, two, three. But where the big fire is the one that you ignite, the one that you set in people's hearts. Tell us a little bit about you, Isabella, and how you show up in the world.
All right, so thank you. I have to say, one of the things is I tend to bring humor into every aspect of my life and the darkest days. But one thing that stands in my mind right now with you talking, and it just all of a sudden popped up many years ago when I was still in corporate. The beautiful coffee staff room was by my office, and I went to get coffee, and there was a colleague of mine from another department. I was the head of HR, and she was in accounting. She came out and says, "You know, how are you doing? Living the life?" And I always had this line for her, which is, "Yes, I'm living the life, somebody else's life, but I'm living the life. Somebody else would love this life." You know, got to that point where had achieved quite a bit, had a very successful job. Really loved what I do, what I did, and what I do, which is really to shine the light on people so they can do their best work, or they can become their best selves. And but it was not necessarily aligned fully at that time. So I bring in the humor. Because you know, we got to laugh at ourselves, and no matter how dark things get, there's always a piece of a silver, not only a silver lining, but just something for us to say, really, is this really happening? Is this, am I being punked? It's
I
one of those things, right?
remember that show. That was the greatest show. I don't know why they took it off the air. It was controversial, but it was really good to be able to pull the wool over people's eyes. And that's what
Right.
we've done so many times. We've taken that sock cap and pulled it down over our own eyes, not
Right.
recognizing who we are, not connecting with who we are. Tell us a little bit about how you work with your clients from your expertise, from your skill set to help them ground themselves.
Right. Thank you. And you know what? First of all, I have to draw from my own experience. And I call myself a recovering hyper-independent woman. And how hyper-independent women, we don't know that we are not connected. We have it, not that we even have it all under control, but we are always working in having it all under control or doing the best for others, or however your hyper-independence shows up, right? So one of the things that I became aware of through, you know, and it's never through the green pastures of life, is how I wasn't necessarily present to myself. You know, it went from one survival thing to another survival thing, and let's get her done. You know, from, you know, when I got divorced and became a single mom that way with a, you know, 6-year-old, to challenges it may be in the career, or just having to look after family, because I'm an immigrant in Canada, my family lives very far away. All of those things that pulls us, you know, pulls on our heartstrings and pulls on our dreams, and you know what it is that we want to do. I wasn't really being present to myself. I put, you know, those things first and didn't turn towards it. And the concept of connecting with our body and turning towards ourselves and allowing us to really feel, first of all, really feel even the chair we're sitting on. It's a tiny shift, but a huge awareness practice, right? It's a mindfulness practice that brings us to this moment. And in this moment, and this is my now is with you here, April. It's like you and I, there is nothing else, regardless. This is what's happening. And it just has the power to really heal any worries or anxiety. So, and it is easier said than done when you're right in the middle of the storm.
Oh,
So I'm
like
not,
I tell people all the time, it's quieting the monkey mind.
totally the monkey
It's
mind.
sitting there in the present. Because we're always reflecting on yesterday's memories,
Right.
and trying to predict what's going to happen tomorrow. And neither one of
Right.
those are relevant. All we have
Right.
is right now. Each breath is, oh, well, I'll do it tomorrow. Or, we live day by day. No, we don't, brains. We live moment by moment. We
Yes.
don't live. A lot of people just exist. They're sitting there like lunch meat. So what I'd like for you to do is give us an example
Sure.
of how this works and how we might be able to incorporate this, 5, 10, 15 minutes a day, to really kind of ground ourselves, take stock of where we are, note it somewhere in your mind or in your journal, and progress forward, being able to look
Right.
back on where we were. All right, so
Right.
I'm gonna be your person to help you.
All right. So just before we start, let me just set the context and why we're doing this. Because, I think most of your listeners, if not all of your listeners, including myself, we have read the books and watched the TED Talks, and we love to get all that information, all that knowledge, be it neuroscience or great insights of research about how to show up, how to be brave, courage, all of that. And that sort of stays here. But what really shifts us from knowing to then embodying, so then we shift the way we show up, is really bringing it back to our bodies. And this is what really makes the difference, because we start to feel it and not just to know it. So from very simple mindfulness practices, it can really shift. But then the trick is the practice, not trick, but the secret is to practice even 5 minutes a day. And right now, I would like to invite you, if we can do this, just for us to become a little bit more present to ourselves. And your listeners can do it this as we are doing this. And as I guide you, I actually guide myself. It's something that it happens also between us. So if we can put everything to one side, whoever's listening, and hopefully if you're driving, don't do this. Just put everything to one side and, and wiggle and find yourself in that, good position that you can
As my
feel
yoga
like,
teacher says, sit upon your sits bones.
that's exactly it. That's exactly it. So just feel like find a position where you feel that you are relaxed, but also supported, right? So we, and the first The one thing, if a person, if your listeners can take one thing from our conversation today, and that's something that I remind myself every day, and how I help my daughter through her mental health journey, is come back to the breath. Every time we come back to the breath, right? Just we can take maybe three deep breaths, a deep inhale through the nose, full, and then exhale through the mouth. And you can even make some noise as. And sometimes I tell the participants in my course, I go, make it juicy, go, ah, to really connect to that. And once you get to the three breaths, just find a rhythm of inhale and exhale that feels natural, no effort. And just noticing how the air comes in and your belly may be moving. Your chest up and down, noticing how your body feels, how your chair is supporting you. Notice any areas of your body that might be tense or itchy or maybe sore. And just notice if you find a point that perhaps is also tense, it could be your jaw, your shoulders, or even the muscles around our eyes. Breathe as if you're breathing through that part and intend to just soften it on the exhale. As we bring the inhale in, soften the belly through the exhale, really intending to soften that. We carry so much tension there without realizing. Notice on your skin the temperature of the air around you. If there are any smells, if there are any sounds that go beyond our conversation, just being aware of where we are and of our own body. And now, as we are connected with our bodies, just bring the attention to the four corners of the room we're in, expanding that awareness with us in it. Just expand to the four corners of the room, bringing back the attention to ourselves. Now bring in the attention to each other. You noticing me, knowing that I am here and I'm noticing you, knowing that you're there and that we are connected regardless of how far physically we are. And from this point of more connectedness and awareness within our body, within really the energy that we feel, intend to connect with the part of you that shows up when you are at your best, and not at your best internally, when you're feeling a level of fulfillment or realization that is almost palpable. For me, it's just when I look at my daughter, she's an adult now, but there is a connection to those moments that just transform my way of being. And when I am with the women that I serve in my courses and programs and in circles, retreats, I love absolutely feel that I am melted into that environment. And for you, are those moments, what are those moments that you show up and connect with not only how you feel, but bring in that feeling as if it was happening now. This powerful, fully resourced woman, knowing that no matter what happens outside or around us, we can turn towards our parts that may feel triggered and hold the wisdom of nervous system regulation, of just being in the place of power and responding from that place of power.
That's a beautiful exercise. And I'm hoping that people really kind of take that and take stake in that. Practice that. I felt a calmness. I imagined myself, on a cruise ship, one of my favorite places, headed towards Italy, taking in the salt air, being with the one I love, getting ready to have some wine and cheese. That's
Right.
when I'm feeling my best. So it takes a lot to get ramped up, brains. It takes a lot of energy, but it takes minimal energy just to sit there and be in the moment and encapsulate the breath. And I want to thank you for that. You do amazing work with Reiki also, and you also hold retreats. Tell us a little bit about that.
Right. The way that my Reiki immersion program works is it's a 9-week level one and two Usui Reiki. Level one and two are done in 9 weeks, where we come together. And the way that it's designed is that we also incorporate the chakra system into it. A lot of Reiki teachings do that, even though it's not part of Reiki. But the chakra systems are the energy centers of within our bodies. And I'm not going to get into too much detail here. There's tons of information out there. And each week, so the first, the second, and to the eighth week, we actually focus in each of our chakras at the time. And by when we use Reiki, so we learn the techniques and then we self-heal, we use the power of universal life force, which what Reiki is, to focus on that particular chakra. So we start at the root chakra, which really has to do with our sense of being here. We are worthy of being here, of being alive. It's a connection to our center of energy that actually empowers all of the other chakras as well. So we actually work each week in all of the energy and all of the consciousness of each of our chakras. So by the time we get to the 9 weeks, we have created not only a practice of Reiki that you are well versed in all the techniques of up to level two, but you also created a practice for yourself to come in to do the breath work and to do the self-inquiry. The program has a lot of journaling prompts, and we come in as Women's Circle. This is a virtual live retreat that happens a few times a year.
Oh, great. So it's virtual, so you don't have to buy a plane ticket, brain, so there's no excuse.
That's right. And not only that, but I actually teach how to set up retreat style. So for that 3 hours a week, and sometimes there's more hours, 3 hours a week, even on the intake, I say, are you committed to that? Because you're committing to yourself.
Right.
You go to a place where you're quiet. If you like candles, if you like crystals, you don't need any of that, because the whole point of what I love to teach is that it's going within. We already have everything that we need. But if that feels good, and it does, I have light, crystals and so on. Bringing that into retreat, that you don't have to go out when it's minus 50 outside, and you can do it from your own home. And it's incredible. When I started doing online, Reiki online, as opposed to just do it in person, which I was doing it before COVID, as everybody else sort of had that shift. I wasn't sure how it would work out. And I was blown away by how actually easier became to sense energy. So there's a gift in that, and I appreciate that. So that's one way of the programs of the women centered. So it's for women. It's women centered Reiki immersion program that, it really helps you build a practice of Reiki that permeates throughout your life, bringing calmness, bringing a level of self awareness and connection with what is, that everything else that is happening starts to change, even though nothing change. It's
Exactly. So you take all of these modalities, and now you also have a business called
yes.
Meta Woman. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, Metta Women. And my purpose with that, I mean, I'm here to serve women. After I completed my 35-year corporate career, really came to, I went rogue and came to the conclusion, and to the really feeling, not even conclusion in my heart, in my head, was a heart knowing that I wanted to serve women that were already in transformation, already know that there is something bigger that they are part of, and wanted to make a contribution at a level that they knew that they were capable of, but they weren't there yet. And that's about just becoming. That's just the becoming. And so I do, and I create, and I deliver women-centered programs that go from sometimes just a one-day, full-day retreat. I have a women-centered leadership development coming up. In it happens every about 6 weeks or so, and then in other areas as well. But always coming in as women-centered. And women-centered means, what is it that women? How does women respond? What is it that we need? And to overcome and to transform, right? To overcome whatever it is that's going on. Because I love doing group work, because as I show up with what's juicy for me at that time, chances are what I have will speak to you, that's you, to my
Absolutely.
group, and to
And
the other, and to the other.
each one can teach one.
Absolutely.
And then you build a support network. Is if Isabella is doing something different or she's with another group, you still have a nucleus. You still have a point that you can connect with that understands the methodology
Right.
and the modality because they've walked that path with you. And I think that that is absolutely wonderful. That brings a little bit about your history. I know that you lost an incredible amount of weight, but also you're helping your daughter through some challenges. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. The Coles notes of it, and is that, like we all, I say, life is an equalizer. We all come from whatever we come from, and then we enter life, let's say adulting, or for some it starts a lot sooner than adulting, and it's an equalizer. It doesn't matter necessarily some of the abundance or whatever that you came in. So some of my challenges certainly have been, they inform who I am today, and they inform how I actually can serve the women that are called to come and partake and share in the circles that I create. But yes, I at one point, I think one of the catalysts was moving to Canada. I started to eat my feelings, like a lot of us can relate to that. And over a time, I gained a lot of weight. After my divorce, I gained a lot of weight, and that I think my highest that I weighed, I was at 340 pounds. And I never felt more invisible in my life, though. It's really interesting, and while that is a huge part of my journey, and the losing the weight, in 2007 and 8, sort of where I lost all of the weight, then you gain a little bit back as you're, and I lo it, And I lost weight through, I had a gallbladder removed. I had that issue, and that kept sort of it started with a whole bunch of not feeling well, and then I drop a lot of weight. And so I don't want to necessarily, I think the weight journey for me became, I need to be alive for my daughter, because at that point I was a single mom. Like, it was like I became like, I have to, I've done all the, all of the diets, all of the things I had already done. And it got to a point where I sort of took the bull by the horns after this surgery, and it escalated. And I am very grateful, because of course it gave me my life back, my ability to really show up.
Now let me ask you a question. When you showed up, I love to ask this question of people that have went through a massive weight loss transition, because now you're greeting a new person. You're
Right.
absolutely striking,
Oh, thanks.
your skin is glowing. Your hair is full and long. You've got a sense of presence about yourself, but you had to be reintroduced to that person. What was that mind shift like? Because that's a trip within itself.
It's so interesting, because I have several best friends. I am very blessed. My very first best friend, she was born, we were friends from the day we were born. And she came to visit me in Canada. She's in Brazil. She came to visit me in Canada, and I was already had lost a lot of the weight, and we were in Banff, and you're familiar with that area. And she looked at me and she said, "I don't think you see yourself as you are now. Let me introduce yourself to it." And we were walking down the street, and like there was a window, like a store window, and the reflection is always there. She says, "Do you see who that person is?" And I will never forget that, because it shocked me, because I still had the idea that I was the obese, the overweight, the morbidly obese person that I was. And all of a sudden, and she said, "I want you, we're gonna go back to the hotel, and when you shower, tonight, I want you to put your lotion on and really feel your body." I'm always a sensual person. I'm, in spite of my weight, I was always very confident. I think we are worthy regardless. But she really opened my eyes, like, receive it's it, you know what? She opened my eyes for me to receive myself. And that's something that I teach. It's so funny, because don't we teach what we most needed, or we went through it? It's to receive ourselves. That's the feminine energy. The feminine energy is to nurture, but we forget to nurture ourselves. The feminine energy is the energy of receiving, the energy of being able to accept help. Like, how hard is that for a hyper independent woman? Like, that just does not happen, right? So yes, that's a really good question.
Respect ourselves, because you have to
Absolutely.
love yourself wherever you are. That's how you take care of yourself.
Right.
When you
Right.
stop caring and you fall into that deep depression, you stop showering. You don't want to brush your teeth. You don't
Right.
want to brush your hair. You don't want to put on any decent clothes. But if you are a person that is, excessively thin, you
Right.
have challenges too, and
Right.
you have to look at yourself and say, is this the version of me that I want to be? Not
Right.
what the world wants me to be, but how do I feel? If you feel comfortable, and you're not doing yourself any harm, and your physical health is okay, continue with that. If you're
Yeah.
a full-bodied woman, you see a lot of celebrities that are promoting body image, and they are big girls, but they are looking in the mirror and they're being proud of that. Being an exhibitionist, I don't know. Sometimes I think that shows up as insecurity. And I'm not saying love yourself, I'm saying a full-on person. Wearing a G-string thong, and I don't know if that's probably the most attractive look. Sometimes they're trying to buck up against the system and saying, I'm defiant, but that's not saying that I really love what I see. It's not saying I encourage you to keep this. It's just, to me, sending a different message. And so I think that's a bit disingenuous. But let's ask you some fun questions, Isabella, before we conclude, because this is my fun part of the interview.
All right.
If you could time travel, where would you go? Future, past, stay in the present? Where would you go?
First thing that came to mind, so I'm gonna say that, is maybe to when my daughter was like 2 or 3, have one more play with her. have one of those Saturday afternoons. Sometimes we would play together and we would just have a nap on the couch, both of us. Oh my gosh, that's sacred for me. So I'd go back there, definitely. Yeah.
If you were a car, what kind of car would
Oh.
you be?
I would like to be a car that takes me on adventure, but it's also as sustainable as possible. I'm really want to, be aware. I'm becoming very intentional about everything that I do and everything that that is about making having a bit of a kinder living. But I'm not a car person. If you ask me, my car, black. What car do you like? Black. That's the kind of person I am, even though I have two cars, which is so funny because I'm not a car person. I have many
Are
friends that
you
are
a
big.
luxury car person? Are you an SUV type of girl?
I am a Jeep SUV, like rugged type person, but I also have a convertible Beamer. So go figure. So
Well, exactly. I could see you that. I could actually see you in a Jaguar.
Oh well,
Electric
then.
powered, of course. Electric powered, of course.
Yes.
What's your favorite meal to cook?
I am vegetarian, pescatarian, but my favorite meal is risotto. I love risotto, and especially if it's like a seafood risotto, lots of cheese, mushroom. Love risotto.
Okay, well, that's good because I was thinking about that. I was looking at some recipes, so you might be able to send me one. If you
Absolutely.
were an appliance in that same kitchen, what appliance would you be?
Well, if I was an appliance, I'd probably be, I know exactly what I would be. I'd be an ice maker.
Just saw one of those on one of these television shows. They
Right.
very
It's
popular now. They have them so that they're portable, so that people always say, "What should I bring? Stop by and get some ice." Portable ice machines. Now, why
right.
would you be the ice machine?
Right. And I crave ice. That's a whole nother story. So I munch on ice. Like I have ice here all day long. So for me, that's why I say that, not because I'm ice, because the other one that came to mind was like a really good coffee machine. But one thing that I cannot live without, and I'm not a handy person, but I got to fix mine once that it broke. It was a dishwasher. I don't like doing the dishes. I like everything clean, but I don't like doing the dishes. So,
Yeah,
you
okay.
know.
Well, that's good. So you are clean and icy. I get that. What planet are you from?
Venus.
Love. Love.
Yes, I'm a Venus. I'm a Venus moon. I am Venus. I'm a Taurus as my sign, sun. I'm very much a Venus.
Yeah. I'm Saturn. I like all the rings and the atmosphere and the energy, and it's not quite Mars and it's not Earth, but it's right out there in the middle. Do you think or do you believe in other life sources? Do you think that we're the only ones in the solar system?
No, I think the unlikelihood that in the literally in the infinite that we are the only life form is just what we don't know yet. I believe that there are lives than we, and not necessarily that we can see either. It can be they present differently that our eyesight
Right.
can't see, but I don't think we're alone. No.
Well, that's good. That's progressive thinking because I don't think that we're alone either.
No.
What is your superpower?
My superpower is of joy and sisterhood. Those are my two that I know that I was born with, that I cannot even take credit for them, for honing them. I've always been a joyful person. That's it. Like I am very joyful. I in the worst of times, I can just hone and feel the joy, the glimmers. There's the glimmers in life, the little thing, my cup of coffee. I look outside, the beautiful sunset, everything. The joy is in everything. And sisterhood. I am a friend. I am a sister to you. I am a friend. To me, that's how I thought everybody was. And I'm not saying that I actually, this is what I actually come into any relationship. I have friends from when I was born. I have friends from high school, like friends that I can call and saying I'm really having a hard time. I have friends 30, 40-year friendship, and I've made wonderful friends here in Canada. I've been in Canada now for many years, like that. I call them sisters. Just we are sisters from another
You know,
misters,
that's
you
such
know.
a beautiful thing because a lot of women catfight. A lot of women are envious and jealous, and it does not serve you, brains. Everybody brings something to the potluck. And everybody's not going to have the same thing on their plate. Everybody's not going to prepare it the same way. There has to be a synergy. There has to be a unity among women and men, human beings together. But women cannot be like crabs in a barrel, always trying to pull each other down. Support your sister. See her on the street and say, "Oh, you know, your eyewear is very beautiful." Or, "Where'd you get that lipstick?" Or up level that person, make them feel good. You have no idea of what that is going to do for you.
Yes, the language that I use, because I actually make this intention, is I amplify other women. I don't need to even know them personally to amplify them. And when we amplify one another, it builds on. It's exponential. It becomes more than just what I said to you. It becomes that what I'm saying to you has an effect for every other woman that's, you know,
Absolutely.
starting a business
Absolutely.
or whatever, because the reality is patriarchy wants to divide us, you know, wants us to bring in patriarchy as the consciousness, as the energy of it. So I don't believe in competition between women. I amplify women that are in the same space as I am. I want to collaborate with them. And you know, you have to take my word for it, but they're there, and they say that. They say exactly that. I just had a one of my graduate students. She was a Reiki master through the whole program, the 1 year program, and she moved to Florida. She just sent, and I didn't know that. She just sent me a text yesterday saying, "Isabella, you know, here in Florida, I forgot most of my Reiki stuff in Canada. I want to sort of be able to offer the service online. Can you send me this and that? Can you give me a hand on how to start this business?" I sent her a whole bunch of information, and I say, "I'm here. You know, how about we make a call next week, and you know, I can give you some ideas of what else you can do, just because this week has been rushed." But I walk the talk this way, and
Wonderful.
I want other women to really feel the possibility of that, you know, the possibility that when we expand and amplify each other.
Exactly. Well, brains, you got to get in your feelings. You got to feel the feel. You know, got no, what is it? You got to feel the fear, yet do it anyway. Thank you so much for being with us here, Isabella, on the Edge. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you, how to log in and sign up for that retreat, and to work with you, join your group online. What's the best way to do that?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a lot more. Thank you, April, so much for your time. The best way to it's very simple. Go through Instagram, and it's at Reiki Immersion School. Reiki Immersion School or Meta Women. So Reiki Immersion School is one of my accounts. Meta Women is the other. Link in bio has the information of how to sign up for the wait list. Lots of add-ons on the 9 week Reiki Immersion program as support for you and every woman to really become, and you know, become the best that's there already emergent in you. So thank you so much.
Well, emerge means to get involved. It means to rise. And so, what I want to do is, I want to help you elevate your frequency and find my postcard so I can tell you guys where you are. Here you are. You're here on the edge. Go in, please. Like, love, share, and subscribe. Like, love, share, and subscribe to the YouTube channel, to the blog talk. I want you to go back and rewind this interview. Take stock of the valuable information that she provided to us and utilize the exercise just to calm yourself for a few minutes. You could be at work. You're on your lunch break. You're in the car. You're listening to this, not with the car running, with the car off. But, you know, just take that time. to honor self. Thank you so much, Isabella. You are the best. Bye, Brains.